And now, today's word.
So, by this, God is saying that his salvation is not just going to be based on blood or nationality or culture, but anybody can come in and be part of this relationship that he has established with Abraham. So, if you bear the mark of Abraham, Abraham is God's friend, you bear his mark, you can go in. You have his ID, you have his pass, and the household of God will be open to you. Even if you are a foreigner, wherever you came from, once you identify with Abraham, God accepts you. And that is very critical, because it shows us later when we go into the New Testament, we are going to see how the whole process of salvation works. But here God is showing us in a small measure how it works. Abraham's children, Abraham's servants, Abraham's slaves, all of them, if they are circumcised, they can come in. In this relationship, at this point, this circumcision does not make the people perfect, holy, all at once. It just means they can now approach God. They now have access to God. The outcasts cannot approach God, but the people who have Abraham's mark, they can join Abraham to go into God's household. But in the midst of all that, God said, still, I'm going to work something in the future. And for that, I'm going to select Isaac. So although so many people are circumcised, Ishmael is circumcised, Isaac is circumcised, the children of Keturah are circumcised, the servants are circumcised, the slaves are circumcised, now they all have access to God's household. God says, from now, I'm going to work through the line of Isaac, because there is something in the future that is going to complete what he has started with Abraham. And it's not going to come through the other people, it's going to come through the line of Isaac. Somebody will say, why the line of Isaac? Because one man cannot be born from three family lines. There must be one family line. God has to work with one family line. If God says there's going to be a redeemer in the future and he's one man, he's not going to come from 10 different families. He's going to come from one. So in every generation, God has to choose that one family through which the Messiah will eventually come. And at this time, he chooses Isaac. Later on, he chooses Jacob, and then he chooses Judah, and then he chooses David, and then he chooses Solomon, and he goes on and on and on until Jesus Christ, because there has to be only one line that will produce the Messiah. But at this time, everybody has access to the presence of God. This is the first time since Eden. Since the Garden of Eden, when man was thrown away from the presence of God, this is the first time that a large number of people are now having access back to God. And it comes through Abraham and the people who bear his mark. Now, let's go on. Now, these people who bear the mark of God, I'm sure that some of them over time just forgot about it. Some of them threw it away. Some of them forgot and so didn't carry on. I'm sure the slaves, for example, once Abraham dies, they go to their families, you know, they forget, you know, this thing is gone. And so really most of the people don't carry on with the Abrahamic covenant. Although at the first they were introduced to it, most of them don't carry it through. The majority of the people who carry through are the descendants of Abraham. And the majority of them end up, that is the line of Isaac, they end up in a place called Egypt. And at this time, all of these marked people who are supposed to have access to God are in Egypt, in bondage. And God has to do something about them. They begin to pray and they cry to God. And God picked one of them called Moses and sent him with a message. Now, I want you to note what God said to Moses. And we're going to read several passages in Exodus. And you don't need to wait. I will just read them so you can just write down the verses. Exodus chapter 7, verse 16. Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. Exodus chapter 20, chapter 8, verse 20, Exodus chapter 9, verse 1, Exodus chapter 10, verse 3. So we start from Exodus 7, 16. This is Israel's calling, how God is now calling out these marked people. And you shall say to him, this is Moses, God saying to Moses what he should say to Pharaoh. And you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you will not hear. Then chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh and said to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Chapter 8, verse 20. And the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. Then say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Chapter 9, verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. Chapter 10, verse 3. So Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh and said to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. I want you to note that common phrase that runs throughout all these times that God sends Moses to Pharaoh. One phrase, let my people go, that they may serve me. Let my people go, that they may serve me. Now, Israel is in Egypt, and really the people in Egypt are also created by God, but he calls the Israelites his people. He doesn't call the Egyptians his people. Does it mean they are useless human beings? No. In terms of relationship, the only people who bear the mark of Abraham, who are now God's people, are the Israelites. So he comes to the whole nation, and out of the nation, he isolates the people who bear the mark of his friend, and he calls them my people. So these people are God's people because they bear Abraham's mark. So the first thing you note is that they are called to be God's people. They are marked people. They are not Pharaoh's people. They are not their own people. They are God's people. Let my people go. The second thing you would note, and he repeats it often throughout, let my people go that they may serve me. They are called to serve in God's household. This is the calling of Israel. Let my people go. Why should they go? Because I need them to serve me. Are there not people who are serving God? Well, if there are people who are serving God, he would not have come for these ones. Let my people go. Why? That they may serve me. So right from this verse, you get to understand that the relationship that God is going to have with these people is a father and a servant. A father and servants. In Abraham, it's a father and friends. In Adam, it's a father and his son. In Cain and Abel, it's a father and outcast. With Israel, is a father and servant. It's a different relationship from friendship. Let my people go, that they may serve me. Now, when Israel was liberated from Egypt, they were very happy. And you would be too, if you were an Israelite at that time. Remember when they came out through the Red Sea, they jumped out of the Red Sea, picked up their tambourines, and they had started singing out, God has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider, he's thrown into the sea, the Lord is my strength, the Lord is my song. And they began to celebrate, and they thought, free at last! Freedom! Now, were they really being set free to be free? No. God said, let my people go, that is freedom, that they may serve me. So they thought they were so smart, so cute, so nice, that God just wants them to be free. God says, I don't just want you to be free. I'm going to get you to do something else. You're going to serve me. So the freedom is not just for their personal usage. The freedom is for a divine purpose. Now, you go to Exodus. Exodus chapter 19 from verse 1 to 6. Exodus 19, 1 to 6. It says, in the third month, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. Now, if you are very much acquainted with the book of Exodus, God said, let my people go that they may go and serve me in the wilderness. Now, this is the wilderness he's talking about, Sinai, because there's a place that God is going to meet with these people who are beneficiaries of Abraham's covenant. But now he wants to enter into a covenant with them on their own. Not just Abraham, but on their own. So he says, they came to the wilderness of Sinai, verse 2. For they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and come to the wilderness. So Israel came there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians. Now that's, you see what I did to those people? Okay. And how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you shall speak to the children of Israel. Now, what is God saying? God's saying, you see what I did? Moses, do you see what I did? You saw all the miracles. Why did you think I was doing it? I did it because I am bringing you to myself. I am purchasing you for my own use. You are not just going to be doing your own stuff. I brought you to myself. I bore you on eagle's wings. I made sure I delivered you because I need you. I want you for myself. Remember, what God has been doing since the fall in Eden is to bring mankind back to himself. So he says, that's why I'm doing this. I brought you to myself. And not only that, he says, if you obey me and walk in my covenant. Now you're going to ask, what covenant? We're going to find out very soon. If you obey me and walk my covenant, you will be a special treasure to me above all the peoples of the earth. In other words, I'm going to elevate my relationship with you to a level that no nation on earth has. You'll be a special treasure to me. And then he says something very interesting. He says, you will be to me a kingdom of priests. That means all of you will become priests. Now, what does a priest do? A priest stands as an intermediary. So what God is saying is that all of you, I'm going to use you to stand between me and the rest of the world. Because this kingdom is going to represent me to the world. All of you will become a kingdom of priests. Not one priest, not two priests, but the whole nation. And then he says something very profound. He says, you will be a holy nation. This is my plan for you. Go and tell the people. So Moses goes to tell the people, listen, God spoke to me. He says, this is why he delivered us. He brought us to himself. He wants us to obey his covenant. And he wants all of us to be priests. And all of us to be holy. And he wants to treat us higher, better than any nation on this planet. The people said, Sounds good. Sounds good. It looks like something that we are interested in. So they send Moses, go and tell God, we've heard. And whatever he wants to do, we are ready. We will keep his commandment, we'll walk in his ways, and we will be that special treasure. No, people get excited when you tell them they're going to have preferential treatment. Because human beings like preferential treatment. They forgot about the part that says if they walk in my ways and keep my commandment, they just like special treasure, kingdom of priests. Now, I'm just going to try to jump a bit on myself. Remember, later on when you read the Old Testament, the people didn't become a kingdom of priests. God had to choose only one tribe to be priests. Because the people couldn't walk in the covenant. God's idea was not to have one tribe as priests. He wanted all the 12 tribes to be priests. All the 12 tribes to be able to talk to him. All the 12 tribes to be able to receive from him. Each one of them to have direct access to him. But the people couldn't handle it. I'm going to show you that very soon. And so only one tribe was chosen. Now, you have to bear that in mind, because when you come into the New Testament, you realize God didn't change his plans of getting a kingdom of priests. Because that was what he wanted right from here, a kingdom of priests. A kingdom, a nation where everybody is a priest. Everybody has access to God. Everybody can talk to God. You don't need to go through anybody to get to God. Now, the people said, okay, Moses, we're ready. We're ready.
The Father and His Household. This 7-part series will help you appreciate the various stages of the relationship between God and man and empower you to fully partake of God's divine nature through Christ.
Humans change, civilizations change, knowledge changes, wisdom changes, experience change. God does not change.
Get your copies of The Father and His Household by Pastor Mensah Otterbull, available in 7-part audio series. Contact Altar Bookshop, Christ Temple, now on 233-302-688-000.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otterbull, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter @MensahOtterbill. Email Otterbill @centralgospel.com.